I'm sure you saw on the news this past week about the British astronaut who went to the International Space Station, Major Tim Peake. And I'm sure you saw on your television screen how he left Kazakhstan and left that shuttle area in Kazakhstan, and just to see that rocket launch into space. And to think that that man left this planet. And then wasn't it amazing how he was able to communicate back to the Earth from the space station with his wife and parents? And, you know, modern technology makes all this possible. So there's a man who left this planet and he's there for 6 months. But tonight, as we come to the end of this carol service, I want us to think about a man who came to this planet. Not a man who left this planet, but a man who came to this planet. And we're going to read about him in Luke chapter 19. Luke's Gospel chapter 19. It's page 1053 in your pew Bible. 1053. Luke chapter 19. This might seem a strange passage to choose for a Christmas message, but I believe there's a good reason for it whenever we come down to verse 10. But let's read the verses before that. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the text I want to leave with you tonight. Verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was encouraged to hear someone pray that text in the prayer meeting. In fact, I think they repeated it a couple of times. But it was just like the Lord's seal on the message for tonight. This beautiful verse, Luke 19, verse 10. Do you know, I was amazed as I read it to discover that every word is one syllable. Think about that. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not one word has two syllables. One syllable for every word. Friends, that tells me that it's simple. This is a very simple text, a very simple verse of Scripture. It's a verse that the tiniest little child at school could learn. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, well, don't teach children the Bible. Wait until they're older. Well, I want to tell you tonight that God's Word is a simple book. And we have this simple, such a simple verse of Scripture in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. We have here, of course, the Lord Jesus speaking about Zacchaeus. And he's speaking about his mission. And the mission of the Lord Jesus was to come into this world to save people like Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost. He was a publican. That just means that he was a tax collector. I suppose we would say today that he worked for the Inland Revenue, HMRC. And he wasn't very popular. And he was despised. And you see, not only was Zacchaeus despised in this passage, but Jesus was despised for going to the house of Zacchaeus. You notice there that there were people in verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Friend, have you ever been slandered? Has anybody ever talked about you behind your back? Has anybody ever insulted you, blackened your name? Well, if you live the Christian life, you take a stand for the Lord, it'll happen. That's the news I've got for you tonight. Don't think that it'll never happen. It will happen. People will start to talk about you. And they started to slander and to talk about Jesus. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he made himself of no reputation. We read that at the start of the service, Philippians chapter 2. He made himself of no reputation. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he wasn't worried about what people were going to say about him. And if you want to live as a Christian, you've kind of got to ignore what people say about you and just how much people slander you and, you know, backbite and all the rest of you. You've got to get past that. And you've got to just say, well, Lord, why am I on this earth? Why am I here? And Lord, by your grace, I intend to fulfill the work that you have for me to do. And there was no one who was more perfect and more wonderful at that than our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he's the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want us kind of tonight to base the message around the British astronaut, Tim Peake, and to use that sort of a metaphor, analogy tonight, as we think about the coming of our Savior into this world. And I want us, I suppose, first of all, to talk about the landing, if I can use that term, because the astronaut last week, he landed on the ISS, the International Space Station. He arrived, and maybe you saw the pictures, you know, and it's amazing just to see them floating about through the space station, and I suppose just to do with gravity. No gravity up there, is there? But he arrived, he landed safely. But friends, tonight, what about the landing of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the arrival of our Savior into this world? It took place at Bethlehem. You see, it says there, the Son of Man is come. The Son of Man is come. He has come already. We sung that carol this morning. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. You know, the fact that Jesus has come into the world should cause each one of us to be full of joy. Why should we be full of joy? Well, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Some people think Jesus came to be a good example for us and to set us an example, and we copy him, and then someday God will pat us on the back and say, well done, you reached my standard, come on into heaven. Well, that's not why Jesus came. And Jesus didn't just come to be an example. He didn't just come to be a great teacher, to be a great moral teacher. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God he came into this world. The Bible tells us that God was manifest in the flesh. It tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then verse 14 of John chapter 1, it tells us, and the Word was made flesh. That word, I hope you're not confused, but that word, it refers to Jesus. That's one of his names. It's one of his titles. And the Word was made flesh. In other words, the eternal Word, the eternal Son of God who had lived in eternity past with the Father, he became a human being. He became a man. And he entered into this world. And you see, that's why in verse 10 of Luke chapter 19, he's called the Son of Man. He was a man. He got thirsty, he got hungry, he felt pain, he was tired, he shed tears, he cried over the city of Jerusalem, he cried at the grave of Lazarus. He was a perfect man. He's the Son of Man. Friends, does that not encourage you tonight? Perhaps you've come into this church tonight. I don't know. Maybe it's the first time you've ever been in this church, and it's great to see you tonight. But friend, isn't it a great comfort and a great encouragement to you tonight that Jesus is a man, that he's a human being, he's a real person. He's not high and holy and away up there and away off, distant from us. He's one of us. The only difference is that he doesn't have sin. He's not tainted with any kind of sin. Not like us, because you know how it is with us. Our thoughts can be so filthy. Our words can be so filthy. Our actions can be so filthy. You know, there are things in our lives and sins in our lives, friends, wouldn't you agree tonight, that we wouldn't want anybody else to know about? But you see, the good news of Christmas is that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinful people. He came to save filthy people. He came to save people who are lost. Did you get that word, L-O-S-T? And it means lost in sin. And it you know, we're talking about somebody being really lost here. You see, whenever someone is completely lost, they are helpless. They need someone from the outside to come and to help them. I suppose it's a bit like being in a maze. Don't know whether you've ever been to Hampton Court in England, but there's a great maze there. And, you know, it's very easy to get lost in that maze. But the good news is that there are people in that maze, staff employed in that maze, and you can ring the bell and they'll come and help you to get out of the maze. But you know, friends, there's many people in the world tonight and many people in new buildings tonight, and they're lost in the maze of sin. But Jesus, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to seek and to save you. That's if you're prepared to admit you're lost. Because sometimes people aren't prepared to do that. People aren't prepared to humble themselves and say, I'm lost. Yes, I'm a lost sinner. No, there's a lot of people are like the Pharisees. And once you tell them that they're lost, immediately they rear up and they say, oh, but I do this and I do that and I do the other thing. And they, you know, it's just a long list of what they have done. Well, I'm going to be very, very simple tonight because, you see, my motto is KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. I'm going to keep it really simple tonight, and I'm going to tell you, friends, tonight, out of a heart of love, if you're not prepared to admit you're lost, there's no hope for you. Jesus has no relevance to you. The coming of the Son of Man into the world at Bethlehem 2015 years ago, it means nothing to you. It is absolutely irrelevant to you until you confess that you're lost and admit that you're lost. But once you get to that stage, and once you realize that all your church going and all your charitable acts and all the big long list, as long as your arm that you have to tell me about tonight to try to persuade me that you're such a good person, all that long list tonight, in the sight of God, it's like filthy rags. Filthy rags. Do you know what that phrase, filthy rags, means. It's found in Isaiah 64. Filthy rags, it literally is referring, you know that cloth that a mechanic would use to wipe his hands, the oil and the grease, when he's working at the cars or the lorries, that old rag that he would wipe and then throw down on the floor. That's what it means when it talks about filthy rags. And friends, tonight, the very best thing that you can do is just like a filthy rag in the sight of the holy God of heaven. And if we just left it there, we would all have a very depressing Christmas, wouldn't we? But you see, the good news is that that holy God of heaven that I've just referred to, he sent his Son into the world to save you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Maybe tonight you're saying in your heart of hearts, well, you know, preacher, that's me. I am lost. But there's hope for you. You can be saved. You can come to know the Son of Man. And you don't have to wait to Friday. You don't have to wait to Christmas Day. You can come to him tonight. You can receive him as your Savior tonight. And my, what a Christmas you'll have. Don't spend Christmas without the Son of Man. The landing, the arrival of the Savior. What about the mission? You see, that astronaut Tim Peake, he's gone into space for a mission. He's there for 6 months, and he has work to do at the space station, his mission. Well, what was the mission of the Lord Jesus? We've touched on it already, but let me just come back to it and be a wee bit more specific. Jesus came into this world, it tells us, to seek. The Son of Man has come to seek. Today we would say search, search. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to search for you so that you might be saved. You know, down through history, God has always been seeking lost sinners. Right from the very first man, you think about Adam. You remember after Adam sinned and the race fell into sin as a result of his transgression? You remember after Adam had sinned, what happened? Oh, Adam ran to God. Is that right? No, not at all. Actually, Adam hid from God. The Bible tells us that he went to the trees of the garden and he hid in the trees. Adam didn't seek God. He went the opposite direction. But you know, the wonderful truth is that God sought Adam. God searched for Adam because it tells us that the Lord God came in the cool of the day. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? He was seeking for Adam. He was seeking for Abraham. Abraham, that idolater, a pagan in Ur of the Chaldees, God was seeking for him. It wasn't Abraham that started to seek God. No, it's the other way around. God was seeking Abraham, and God saved Abraham. What about Jacob as he ran away from home and ran away from Esau, and he stopped at a place called Bethel, and he had a dream about a ladder, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, the Savior who reconciles earth and heaven? What happened, old Jacob? Well, God was seeking Jacob. The Lord was seeking Jacob, and the Lord came to Jacob, and he had that dream. And the Lord saved Jacob. Jacob didn't seek the Lord. It was the Lord who sought Jacob. What about Moses? My, we could talk about Moses, how Moses ran away to Midian after he had murdered, and he ran there, and he was in the desert looking after the sheep. And, I mean, Moses had no intention of seeking the Lord, but the Lord began to seek for Moses. You think about the apostles, the 12 apostles, fishermen, just common everyday people like you and me. The Lord Jesus chose those men. It tells us that he came along as they were fishing. He said, follow me. He came to Matthew, who was another tax man, another man, we could say, who worked like Zacchaeus for the inland revenue. And the Bible tells us that Matthew, he was just sitting at the table, just getting on with his day's work. But Jesus came and said, "Follow me." Can you see the pattern here, dear friends? It's Jesus seeking people. The Lord is always seeking people. That's the way it is down through the pages of history. That's the way it is down through the pages of Scripture. Some people today have the strange notion that man seeks God, but that's not true. It doesn't happen. You know how I'll tell you why I say that it doesn't happen, because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 11, there's some very important words there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. Listen to it. "There is none that seeketh after God." There is none that seeketh after God. Oh, what about Saul of Tarsus and the road to Damascus? I mean, had Saul any thought of the Lord? Not a bit. He didn't even give this Jesus of Nazareth a second thought. Saul couldn't care less about Jesus. Maybe you've come in tonight, and really in your heart of hearts, you couldn't care less about Jesus. But the Lord has brought you here because he's seeking you so that you will be saved. But you see, Saul on the road to Damascus, he met with the risen Lord. And he cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Oh, his life was changed. But it was all because Jesus sought him. Jesus searched for Saul. It wasn't the other way around. Friends, that's the way it is. Down through history, down through Scripture. But I can hear some people say, "Well, what about the wise men? Did they not seek the Lord?" They sought the Lord because the Lord sought them first. And the Lord put the desire in their hearts to seek him. Why do you think the Lord put the star in the sky? He was seeking for the wise men. He put that star in the sky. Remember this morning we said the average star is 64 million times bigger than the sun. It's amazing, it's so hard to take in, but our great creator God and that little babe in the manger, he put the star of Bethlehem in the sky because he was seeking for the wise men to be saved. And then the wise men, they began to seek for Jesus. Friends, you see tonight, the way that God operates is that first of all, he seeks you and then you seek him. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that he is seeking for souls in this meeting tonight. Because he wants you to be saved, he wants you to be forgiven, he wants you to spend all eternity with him. You're so valuable to him, you're so precious to him, you have a soul that needs to be saved. Yes, thank God tonight that the Lord Jesus came to seek, but then he also came to save. You see, that's a wonderful word, save. Jesus is the Savior. Whenever I was young, we used to sing a chorus, "And when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, then we call him by his name." He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save. He came. Jesus could have stayed in heaven. Let's make no bones about it tonight. He could have stayed where he was in heaven, but he loved you with an everlasting love. And that everlasting love caused him to leave heaven, to come into this world, to seek you and to save you from your sins. Yes, he's the Savior. He came. Is that not what the angel said to Joseph? "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now notice that the angel didn't say sickness. Jesus came to save people from their sins, not from their sicknesses. Friends, I know that God can heal, and if you're unwell tonight and if you're battling with disease, I pray that God will heal you. But the reality is that sometimes the Lord in His sovereign wisdom chooses not to heal His people. Now don't ask me to explain it. But the Lord is sovereign and we must leave it with Him. Jesus came to save from sin, not from sickness. Yes, sometimes the Lord in His sovereign power, He does heal God's people and we believe in divine healing, but there are times when He says no and He has a purpose in withholding His healing power. Neither did Jesus come to save us from poverty. Some people think, oh, Jesus came so that we might all be wealthy and be prosperous. And you know, this is our birthright, our inheritance, and we can name it and claim it, and we'll just be healthy and prosperous. Well, I'm afraid I don't read that in the Bible. Jesus did not come to save us from poverty. In fact, you will find that many, many Christians down through the centuries, they were the poorest of the poor. Even the Son of God Himself, do you know what it says? The Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. He didn't even have a bed to sleep in. But how is it that you have these TV evangelists, and I mean the jewelry's hanging off them, and they talk about sowing a seed into our ministry, and you know, just to get the money from the people, you sow a seed or God will bless you, and they fleece the people. And yes, there they are, they're in their mansions, their private jets and all the rest of it, and the Lord's people left poor. No, Jesus didn't come to save us from poverty. He came to save us from our sins. What about the return? You see, that astronaut will return in 6 months' time back to planet Earth. He will return again. My, he'll have a story to tell. Maybe he'll write a book. I don't know. I'm sure he'll be on TV interviews. But as we finish tonight, what about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, at this time of year, we're celebrating His first coming. But what about His second coming? Let me just say this as we finish tonight. Planet Earth hasn't seen the last of Jesus Christ. He could come back even before we get the chance to celebrate Christmas. He may. He may not. I'm not going to be so foolish tonight as to put a day or a date on it. I don't know. But who knows, but even before Friday comes, the Savior could have returned again. Ah, let me ask the question as we finish tonight. Are you ready? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know the One who came to seek and to save that which was lost?